Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites, HagmanReportLive.com for audio, video, HagmanReport.com for print, HagmanStore.com for the greatest coffee you're going to drink, gourmet coffee. Proceeds go to what they go to help fight boots on the ground, human and child sex trafficking, three different kinds. My go-to is Detective's Choice. That's right. And it's my dog on there, on the front, and me on the back. Detective's Choice, hyper-caffeinated, whole bean, ground, and K-Cup, and, of course, Patriot and Revolution blends because, well, why? Well, look around. There you go. I'm still a member of AARP. They're probably going to, you know, sue me for saying this, but angry and armed, but ready patriot. And that's the way I feel. I was yesterday, last night, I was watching events on Twitter unfold, Louisville, in the last couple of days, seeing all major cities across the United States, many in flames, seeing police getting battered and standing down, stepping down, being told to stand down. I saw one Twitter piece, and I retweeted it on my personal Twitter. Okay, this is of a couple in St. Pete sitting at a table in an outside restaurant. All right, and this cretin, this maggot from this group of people comes up and sits in the chair with this couple. All right, so look. I'm an alpha kind of guy. Can you tell? All right. The woman, the older woman, went around and kind of tipped his chair sideways. That's not, you don't tip it sideways. You tip it back. Anyway, he was able to regain his footing and he stayed seated. He made some verbal threats against the couple. Now, I wrote on my personal Twitter account, I tweeted out that surgeons would still be picking up pieces of cartilage from that maggot's brain. All right. That's just me. All right. And I'm being nice about this. And somebody said, wow, that's a real Christian thing to say. Well, you know what? Yeah, here's the film right here. Or here's the video. Folks, take a look at this. Okay, if I was that guy, this thing would have turned out totally differently. And I might not even be talking to you right now. I might be, probably behind bars or something. However, that little urchin there must be to keep his brain warm. I can't figure out any other reason for it. Threatening this couple and acting like he owns the joint, right? As if he's got this privilege to sit there. He looks black. I don't know. I can't tell. Is he black? Is he white? Is he Hispanic? Is he purple? I can't really, sir, I can't tell what he is. I can tell you what he would be. And the others I wrote wouldn't fare as well as he would. All right. That's just me being pissed off. And again, after yesterday, folks, if you're offended at that language, then change the channel. All right. So you see this, right? You see what's going on? 8 years ago, February 26, 2012, Trayvon Martin. Does that name ring a bell? George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin? It should. Biggest hoax in America in terms of racial relations, in terms of race, the divide, but so relevant today, 8 years ago. And the Martin family attorney, Benjamin Crump, whatever, blabbing his the lips all over TV, saying no justice, no peace, God, you know, the same mantra of these maggots out there. With me is a guy that uncovered the Trayvon Martin hoax, okay? And I'm not going to, look, I'm going to shut up most of this, for most of this. If we can, I'll tell you what, I'm going to introduce him and then I'm going to ask him if I can play the trailer if he wants me to, or part of it, whatever. But I'm going to bring him on right now. His name is Joel Gilbert. The website is thetrayvonhoax.com, thetrayvonhoax.com. One more time, thetrayvonhoax.com. There it is on your screen. Unmasking the witness fraud that divided America. And let me tell you something. Everything that we're seeing today can be traced back to really this in terms of its recency. Now, I've been an investigator for 34 years, okay? 35, something like that. What Joel Gilbert did to uncover this hoax, I'm not sure I could do. His patience, his tenacity, and his nose for the truth. Now, he's got a book out, and folks, listen to me. Now, listen, pull up your chairs, okay? Come close. You're going to find, if you go to thetrayvonhoax.com, you're going to find on his website the trailer, but you're also going to find the documentary. I watched that twice. First time I watched it, I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. Second time I watched it, I took notes. Okay, hold that thought. You think you have the full story now, right? You got most of it. You got a lot of it. But there's a book. Oh, and I can hear people say, oh, there's Hagman selling books again. Let me tell you something. It reads like an investigative report / mystery. I love it. The book fills in so many more points. It gives you so much more information. Folks, I really, really, really think today, especially when you look at these Muppets out there, you know, spouting off this mantra, you know, no justice, no peace, justice for whoever, whatever might the case might be, whatever the flavor is of the day. The book gets into the players that really are facilitating or kind of pushing this forward. So I don't want to take any more of his time because we got a lot to talk about. What you're seeing today is a direct result, in my view, of the, especially you can go back to Rodney King and such, but no. It's really Trayvon Martin 8 years ago this past February. And, boy, the hoax that was foisted on America. You don't know what I'm talking about? Joel Gilbert will explain it for you. And by the way, he's a marvelous singer. He's got a band. He's got so many other documentaries. This guy's a talented guy, but he's also an ace investigator and primo writer and film documentary maker. Here he is, Joel Gilbert. Thanks for coming on with me.
Hi, great to be here. Thanks for having me, Doug.
I appreciate you coming. I'll tell you what, I know it's early where you're at and, from an undisclosed location, but, what say you about all of this?
Well, look, okay, I'm out here in California, actually, and so here, of course, we have book. It's both a book and a documentary. Buy the book or documentary on Amazon to support me. The book is much more in-depth, as you said, and the documentary you can watch for free on YouTube. Just go to thetrayvonhoax.com, and you can link it up right there. You're welcome to play the trailer, but I'll give you a quick introduction. Is that what I discovered is really what's happening today. It started with the Trayvon Martin case. People don't all remember, but the police exonerated George Zimmerman in a self-defense shooting of Trayvon Martin, who was bashing his head in the ground, broken nose, bleeding. Eyewitnesses, physical evidence, 911 calls. He was exonerated by the police. And the attorney for Trayvon Martin's family, Benjamin Crump, who today is the so-called go-to civil rights GoFundMe $10 million attorney that gets all the publicity over this, he decided, of course, they weren't happy with the justice system and how it came out. So what he did is he pressured Trayvon Martin's girlfriend, Brittany Diamond Eugene is her name, She didn't want to come forward and say anything. She was on the phone with him. They knew that. And he pressured her to say something, and she refused. Only 3 weeks later, under tremendous pressure and threats and coercion from Trayvon Martin's father, Tracy Martin, his mother, Sabrina Fulton, and his friends, Brittany Diamond Eugene did a phone interview with Crump. At only 16 years old, she simply repeated back to Crump everything he said. It was racial because he was wearing a hoodie. You know, he wasn't doing nothing. He was just carrying some candy. She just repeated, 16-year-old under pressure, and she was openly led and coached in these statements. So Crump held a press conference and said, "We've got all the evidence now." He played some excerpts, audio excerpts of Brittany Diamond Eugene. Diamond Eugene. She said she's 16 years old. It's Trayvon's girlfriend. They're in love. And then the police, Obama gets involved. He says, "If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon." They're looking to stir up the black vote because it's an election year in Florida, and the economy's tanking. Illegals coming in, taking jobs, 50% unemployment in urban America. So this was a political agenda that they were pursuing on a national level. And LeBron James got suckered into it. He's still suckered into every single race hoax that comes around. He starts complaining and saying he wants justice. And so the state of Florida was pressured by the mob, by the lynch mob, saying, "We want justice." Benjamin Crump brought Al Sharpton down to Florida. And he introduced Al Sharpton by saying, "We called up to New York City. We wanted someone with a track record." Now, Al Sharpton's track record was the Freddie's Fashion Mart massacre, the Crown Heights riots, and the Tawana Brawley race hoax. So that's who he said I needed to bring in. And 2 weeks later, the special prosecutor comes down to Miami to interview 16-year-old Diamond Eugene, first name Brittany, her house on Flamingo Drive. I show all the evidence, and they're sent away to another house, and that's when Rachel Gentel appears, and she says, "Diamond Eugene's my nickname," and there's no question that Crump knew about this, and he was in on it. Trayvon's mother, Sabrina Fulton, who ran for Miami-Dade commissioner, just lost by only 300 votes, she was in on it, and there's no question, how could the prosecutors not have been in on it? So they got Rachel Gentel to repeat some of these false media narratives of what happened, and only based on Rachel Gentel's testimony in the deposition with the prosecutors, they arrested Zimmerman based on those statements, even though it contradicted everything from the police investigation. So what they did is they took this formula, which you still see today in every case. What happens is there's an investigation. Benjamin Crump comes in and says the investigation can't be trusted because the police themselves are racist. And I want a ton of money, and here's my GoFundMe. I want millions of dollars, and his political allies in the media and the Democrat Party call for massive changes of American society and changes to the Constitution. So this is how the lynch mob justice system was reborn in America from the old West from hundreds of years ago, where simply if the mob has to get justice rather than follow the law. And I thought Daniel Cameron yesterday, if you saw that press conference, did a pretty good job saying there's no justice for that person. What we're doing is we'll get to the truth. We're interested in the truth of what really happened.
I was impressed.
Fortunately, they're pursuing this idea of mob justice. And, of course, I show in the film that, of course, Black Lives Matter was formed based on the Trayvon hoax, based on the idea that Zimmerman was acquitted because the justice system came back and worked. It followed the original police investigation and exonerated Zimmerman again. And Black Lives Matter is essentially the 1960s revolutionary Marxist organizations have re-emerged under the anti-racism mantra. It's founded by three Marxists. By the way, Black Lives Matter was an offshoot of Dream Defenders. Dream Defenders was an organization in Florida that was affiliated with the Palestinian terror group called the PFLP, Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. It was founded by Palestinian Arabs who wanted to teach American youth intifada, to teach black youth how to loot and riot in every instance. And that's what Black Lives Matter was, kind of the rebranding. The three girls who founded Black Lives Matter, several of them are Islamic converts as well. And they're heavily Islamic oriented, radical Islamic oriented. You saw in that video clip, maybe you didn't notice that not the guy that sat down, but another guy walked up to this couple wearing a Jewish tallis, a prayer shawl, and sounded a shofar. That was the ram's horn for the Jewish New Year in their face, as if to call them out for being Jewish. So there is an anti-Semitic current in the Black Lives Matter, and there's a profound misunderstanding in the media, celebrities, American society, that Black Lives Matter is somehow a civil rights organization or it's the new NAACP. It's a revolutionary socialist organization that is using black people and using the idea of anti-racism to foment revolution in America and to overthrow the United States. And they simply use these incidences for mob justice to justify all this mayhem to achieve their political goals. I write more in the book about it that this has been going on for like 100 years. They were trying to, the Soviet Union, Comintern, Communist Party USA was trying to recruit black people in the 1930s to join their movement. Didn't work that well because black people were religious people. They weren't into atheism as was communism. And they were into things like love thy neighbor, not a war between the classes and a war between people of different color. The socialists tried to pick up on another movement in the 60s. They were anti-war, anti-Vietnam, anti-draft. Because Americans will never buy into this ridiculous socialist nonsense that the government is going to take over all your property and you're going to give them all your money and it's going to control your life, they know Americans will never buy into this stuff. So they always have to put a different movement out front. So the anti-racism movement of the far left socialists really kind of started back in the mid-80s. They tried again. Barack Obama was in on it. He was a front man brought into Chicago by Bill Ayers from the Weather Underground fame, terrorist emeritus, to head up the communities, to penetrate the black church groups, to have them join these socialist organizations. So they've been at it for about 20, 30 years, and now they've claimed the mantra of anti-racism. But when you think about it, everybody's anti-racist, so, oh, yeah, I believe Black Lives Matter. But when you look at what their goals and their agenda are, it's globalism, transgenderism, and revolution. And I think my film, The Trayvon Hoax and the book, lay out the whole story and really where it all started in the modern kind of era with the hoax of the Trayvon Martin case, where they substituted a fake witness. Rachel Gentile was not Trayvon Martin's girlfriend. She wasn't on the phone with him, and a lot of people knew about it. And they should all be going to jail for witness tampering and other crimes. All the people that were involved in it remains to be seen. But I presented all the evidence, and none of this would be happening today. Of course, it's been about a year since this film came out. I presented it at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., and most of the conservative, even conservative, of course, the mainstream media didn't want to hear about this. That this whole thing, this whole race baiting and racial division is based on a big hoax. They didn't want to hear that, but even the conservative media, I didn't get calls from, you know, Hannity or, you know, Tucker or even Breitbart rejected it. They said, some of them were open about it. They said, we're too afraid to touch this because we might get slammed on social media. We might get accused of being racist. Some of them were just said, oh, I got a new book coming out or I'm too busy. It's old news. I said, no. The Democrat Party is going to pivot back to the Trayvon hoax for 2020 to manipulate black voters and divide the country. They always do it. You know, some of the – every talking head you can think of – I won't name names, but everyone you can think of that's been on Fox News, black and white, they were all afraid to touch it. And that was, you know, very disappointing because had they really publicized this, I think Crump would not still be a national figure today.
To me, watching you in the documentary and then reading it, folks, it's so important to get the book as well. All right. It's so important to get the book because the backstory that Mr. Gilbert just explained is and the DVD, because you need to support his investigation. I don't know how much it cost. I don't know how much that investigation cost you, but out of your pocket, but it had to be a ton of money because I was tired after watching you fly cross country and dig into go through the phone records. In fact, we should, if you don't mind, may we play the trailer and work from that? Okay. Folks, okay. Please pay attention to this. This is the trailer. This is just a smidge. This just, it doesn't, it shouldn't even whet your appetite, except give you an idea of what Joel Gilbert's investigation entailed. Go ahead.
My message is to the parents of Trayvon Martin. You know, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon.
The shooting death of Trayvon Martin was ground zero for racial division in America.
Trayvon Martin was killed for wearing a hoodie, quite frankly.
I decided to produce a film on how the case affects American politics to this day. It had started as a self-defense case. But then, out of the blue, they found Trayvon's girlfriend.
She is a minor child.
This phone witness led to the most racially divisive trial since OJ. The girlfriend had written Trayvon's mother a letter.
I put it in a box.
Did you sign it at the bottom?
Yes.
What name did you use?
Diamond Eugene.
My investigation started with Trayvon's 750-page cell phone records. I made a shocking discovery. Trayvon did have a girlfriend named Diamond Eugene, but she wasn't the witness at the trial. To understand what really happened, I knew I had to find the real Diamond. My research took me to the back alleys of Little Haiti.
Maybe they can help me find Diamond.
Yeah, maybe they will help.
To the high schools of Miami Gardens. To Florida's capital city of Tallahassee. And finally, to Sanford, Florida, where I got to know George Zimmerman. For the first time, he revealed Trayvon's last words.
I heard him say, "Tell Mama Alicia I'm sorry."
Then I found a tape where Rachel confessed to prosecutors.
Real guilty.
Why do you feel real guilty?
I ain't know about it.
Huh?
I ain't know about it.
And then, finally, I found Trayvon's real girlfriend, Diamond Eugene. I was then able to reconstruct the shocking story of what really happened the month before and after the shooting. I used forensic handwriting analysis and even DNA to confirm what I had uncovered. That Diamond was switched for a fake witness in a murder trial in the most stunning hoax in American judicial history. A hoax whose consequences have been tragic beyond anyone's imagination. In telling this story, my hope is to show how politicians and the media have pulled us apart when our shared aspirations have always been to come together as one nation.
Yeah, say it, folks. Buy the DVD, buy the book. Go to thetrayvonhoax.com and seriously, do yourself a big, big, big favor. Purchase them both. And if you have to, I would say this, since the video is on, is free on YouTube for now, do yourself a favor, but buy the book, because the book fills in so much of the backstory that Mr. Gilbert had said. But did you see that stack of phone records? Okay, now I've gone through those. And believe me, as an investigator, that is no easy task. And I've traveled like he has. Again, no easy task, talking to witnesses. But the bottom line here, did you catch what happened here? They swapped witnesses, and everyone knew it, and it was a big lie. And here we are today. Did I do okay with that, Joel?
Yeah, pretty good. And there's more to come out. You know, George Zimmerman did file a lawsuit that's in the state of Florida right now based on my findings that he's charging Benjamin Crump, Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon's parents, Father Tracy Martin, Brittany Diamond, Eugene, Rachel Gentile, all of them with a civil conspiracy, witness tampering, fraud, you name it. And it's going to, I think, come out in the trial. There's more to know. For example, the phone records of Diamond Eugene showed that she was calling Chase Bank at 16 years old, repeatedly right after she was recruited to make these statements to Crump. And then Crump was calling her the next day. So I wouldn't be surprised if we find out there were payoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out Sabrina Fulton was even more deeply involved. She definitely knew about it. This is Trayvon's mother, who's the cause celeb of the Mothers of the Movement, who shows up at all the Democrat Party events. Sabrina Fulton's been race baiting for 6 years. She became a race hustler herself. She's been running around the country earning speaking fees. She got a huge settlement from the Homeowners Association. She signed book and movie deals. And she runs around to college campuses saying, you know, I'm quoting, people hate you so much because of the color of your skin, they want to kill you. This is what's the message that she's been spreading around. And she was in on it. She knows it was a hoax, but she's trying to make a career like Crump out of this. And I can tell you the biggest fans of my movie, you can look at, there's over 4,000 or 5,000 comments on YouTube and the emails I get. The biggest fans are black teenagers and black youth. And they email me and say, oh my God, I was scared to go out of my house. They made me think that I was going to be shot down because people didn't like my skin color. This one young lady wrote me, she said, I have a black son and I grew up on this Trayvon Martin stuff. And I was afraid for him to grow up in America. She said, thank you. Thank you. We got played. So the black people suffered the most from all this nonsense where it led directly to that Ferguson, Missouri. Of course, Crump was in on that. And it's called the Ferguson effect, where the police withdraw from proactive policing. It used to be they drive by, see a guy with a gun or dealing drugs, and they stop him and get the crime off the street. Now they just keep driving. So the homicides have gone up about 33% because of all of this, and it continues to just make black youth suffer. I think all these people have blood on their hands, and it's not fathomable that just because Trayvon Martin died in a tragic incident that thousands of more black youth have to die for nothing. And they're still playing this out today. It's the same people, the same formula. It's Benjamin Crump. It's Al Sharpton's in on it. They come up with a false narrative. The media runs with it. For example, we thought until the other day, we pretty much thought that Breonna Taylor was sleeping in her bed. The police showed up, didn't knock on the door, burst in and shot her dead in cold blood.
Correct.
Now we find out everything we were told is a lie. So all these cases we find out like about a year later when it goes to court, that everything we were told at the get-go was a lie. But still, we have people like LeBron James tweeting out, you know, we can't go out of our house without being shot to death. The celebrities get sucked into it. The media's in on it. And it's just a terrible tragedy, ultimately, for black America and for the cause of civil rights. Glenn Lurie, he's a black professor at Brown University. He did a nice analysis of my film. He said, we cannot build the civil rights movement on ruses and hoaxes. And that's what's being done.
You know, what I got from your book, by the way, is what you said earlier about the roots of Black Lives Matter. Of course, you know, the 2013 formation, official formation by Patrice Cullors, Tometi, and Garza, of course. That's obviously the direct result of the front of the socialist movement, but of course in response to Trayvon Martin. But the depth at which you address what is really pushing this movement, to me, it just fit everything together. Because I've interviewed people like Diana West, talking about the communist socialist infiltration. Of course, I've read books by, you know, M. Stanton Evans and understand the history behind this. But you really put this together in such a way where, okay, when I do see the riots, the cities burning, now you have connected the more current dots and overlapped the racial component into the socialist communist infiltration into American society, if that makes sense. It's just amazing. So what we're seeing, I mean, we as we see cities burn, we're being played. And by the way, I am guilty for not having you on earlier. I'll tell you what, I should have had you on. I should have known about this. And in fact,
I'll agree with you on that. Look, a lot of people missed it. A lot of people felt they were afraid of it. They said, oh, well, we better not touch anything to do with race. We'll be excoriated on social media. We'll be attacked by the left. We're just too afraid to address something that has any racial component, let alone the mother of all, you know, racial incidences with Trayvon Martin. But the lack of a media that wasn't afraid and didn't have a little better ability to look forward and backward at the same time, I think is the only reason that Ben Crump is not disbarred and, you know, charged or imprisoned from witness tampering. I think that's the only reason. Look, I interviewed in one of my films called There's No Place Like Utopia. I interviewed an ex-KGB agent defector named Konstantin Prebojinsky. And he told me that the communists in Russia and in the history and even currently, they viewed American blacks as the raw material for revolution. That was his quote, the raw material for revolution. So they've always targeted American blacks in history to use them to get them upset about racism and economic differences, to marshal their anger for votes and for political power. And the Democrat Party has rested their entire program on that. And these race hoaxes are things that they just get behind over and over again. And it's absurd. It's tragic. I mean, I grew up in Tennessee in the 80s, and I never heard the N-word. I've black friends, black kids and white kids were all together today. Up to this day, we're friends. So the idea that they present in the media that suddenly 40 years later, all of a sudden America became racist. It's so racist. You can't even see it. That's how racist it is. It's in the system. Oh, well, where is it? Well, Obama said it's in our DNA. Oh, okay. How do we find it? So that's these race hustlers with a black president. They ran out of racial incidences to fuel this race-based narrative. And the Democrat Party needed a race-based narrative to keep this huge voting bloc. And the absurdity of it is you know, beyond comprehension, that you can have somebody killed in an accident. Breonna Taylor, I don't know how much of an accident it was. We don't know if her boyfriend used her as a human shield. Why is she the only one that got hit standing next to him? So accidents happen. I can tell you that every day in America, you'll have people on drugs, people on meth, people on PCP, and they commit a crime. They attack somebody. That person calls the police, come rescue me. There's some crazy guy here stealing or trying to hit me with a knife or shoot me. The police come, and that guy might be on probation and on drugs, and the police job is to save the person that's being attacked. Sometimes, most of the time, the criminal will go along quietly. Sometimes they say, I don't want to go back to jail. They decide I'm going to fight the police. Sometimes the police get shot and killed. Sometimes the police kill a person. It's very, very tragic. But the idea that we don't want policing, when they say defund police, right, that's a nice word. Eliminate police. They don't want any police. They don't want any prisons. It's a reimagining of human society. It's a reimagination, and this reimagination is supposed to lead to this perfect utopian world with them in charge as the gods of this utopia. And they're trying to use black Americans to achieve this total nonsense. And only the people suffering most are black Americans. And I think if you look at some of the comments on the YouTube film for the Trayvon hoax, you'll certainly see that bears out.
You know, yeah, I believe that right now, I looking at things, I believe that the most impacted victims of what's taking place are the black people. I'm not going to call them African Americans, they're black people, here in America. Because as you pointed out, this false narrative has been created, and, now there are, and maybe you can help me with this too. You look at these, Black Lives Matter, protests, the violent protests that we see. I don't see I would say the majority of the people there are white people.
These are the same anarchists that when Trump was elected, they went out and rioted, about 2 million people nationwide. They have these anarchist, revolutionary, communist organizations that are very small all over the country, and they occasionally will activate when they find a certain cause. The cause of the day is called racial scapegoating. And that's what George Zimmerman was. He was a racial scapegoat or Sabrina Fulton in the Martin family. Trayvon, as I point out in the film, he was not a bad kid. He was a normal kid, 16, 17 years old. He had no father in the home. He got he lost his stepmother, Alicia Stanley. We show for the first time in the film, George Zimmerman told me Trayvon Martin's final words to him were, "Please tell Mama Alicia I'm sorry." Mama Alicia was Alicia Stanley, who was Trayvon's stepmother. He lived there for 16 years, and he had to leave her home and go back and live with Sabrina Fulton because his father left his stepmother. So Trayvon was stuck moving to Sabrina's house, no father, no supervision. He got into drugs, gangs, heavy marijuana use, dealing guns. And every time he got in a fight and suspended from school, Sabrina Fulton would kick him out on the street. Instead of locking him down, grounding him, and trying to spend time with him, she would kick him out of the house. So he's, you know, 200 miles away, and he gets into another fight. So for Sabrina Fulton and the Martin family, Zimmerman was the racial scapegoat for their parenting deficiencies and for the failures of the socioeconomic conditions that they experienced. The fact that the father left the home twice. Trayvon lost his mother twice. And we're seeing, what we see is the same thing nationally. All the failures of the Democrat policies and the Democrat education policies in urban America, Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore, all these places where there's terrible education, drug culture, single mothers, crime. Instead of saying, okay, our policies don't work, all this nonsense, driving businesses out, raising taxes, teachers unions with terrible education, let's try something else. Instead, they say, oh, no, we got a racial scapegoat. The racial scapegoat, it's America. It's America. Where's the racism? Oh, it's the system. Well, where is in the system? Oh, it's in your DNA. Or you don't even know you have it. Well, how do I know I have it? Well, we'll teach you some critical race theory so you can figure it out. So they took that microcosm of George Zimmerman being a racial scapegoat for the Martin family to making America the racial scapegoat for failed Democrat Party policies.
Very well stated, and sadly, very well stated. Okay. What can we do? To the people watching and listening, look, I feel helpless, all right? And honestly, I don't, for as much as I talk and say, you know what, I'm not going to put up with this nonsense, and I'm not. I'm not going to be victimized by these mobs that are, they're Marxist mobs. So I'm not going to be victimized, nor will I allow my family to be victimized. And I'm going to fight back. But wait a second, you know, before fighting back, there's got to be something else that we could do, maybe, to defuse the situation as it is today. I mean, do we need to, what would you suggest? I feel like calling up, if I could, Sean Hannity and say, hey, or Tucker Carlson and say, hey, you got to talk to Joel Gilbert and you got to get him on. What can we do?
Look, I agree. Look, I made this film. I thought it was a huge revelation that could help heal the nation. When Sabrina Fulton was running for office, she did some virtual town halls, and I managed to get in on one, and I got to ask a question to Sabrina Fulton. And I said to her, I said, Ms. Fulton, why haven't you forgiven George Zimmerman? Don't you think the country could heal if you did so? And I said, the Bible says that the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Sabrina, isn't that what Jesus would do? And while I was talking, she was smirking and looking away and laughing. And then she went into about a 3-minute speech about how she won't forgive. And I think what I got from that in reality is she can't forgive herself for kicking Trayvon out every time he got in a fight instead of grounding him and working with him. And so she needs that racial scapegoat of George Zimmerman so that she doesn't have to deal with her own failings and her own deficiencies. But think of the power Sabrina Fulton had years ago. Religious woman goes to church, talks about, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus. She says all those religious things, but she could have just forgiven Zimmerman and said, you know, my son was very troubled. He was into guns and drugs and fighting, and I kicked him out, and he attacked this person. I don't want anyone else to be hurt because of this. But she wouldn't do it. That's a tremendous amount of power she had. Instead, she launched a career as a race hustler. And she goes to churches and she says, I know and believe that God is using me. In my film, I'd say, no, I don't think it's God. And I quote from Proverbs. I actually quote from Proverbs. It's the epigram in the book.
Yep.
Because what she does is she reads Proverbs at her events. She reads Proverbs like 6:1-15. She doesn't continue when she gets to 16. So 16 is, for the Lord hates a heart who devises wicked plans, a false witness who breathes out lies, and who sows discord among brothers. And that's what the Martin family did, and that's what Crump does every day. He sows discord among brothers. Americans are all brothers. Black and white, we're all brothers under a nation of liberty and a constitutional republic that we have so many opportunities to achieve. And these people are choosing racial mayhem for their own individual personal gain and allying with their media and political partners to take political power. So this is the tragedy of the moment. And I think by shedding light on it, whether it's a Hannity or Tucker or anybody else, I mean, I think I proved that these people all were involved in witness tampering, were involved in suborning perjury, were perjuring themselves in court. And the justice system, I think it needs to catch up with them and expose that this original race hoax really created a tragic formula that's still being followed to this day. It was also kind of the advent of the modern era of fake news, where the media would just make up stuff and didn't care about the facts. I mean, I walked into the, you know, Florida State Archives and just got all the records, public records. Anybody could have done that. And you could just see right away, that's not Trayvon's girlfriend. There's a different girl. There's her photos. In the phone records, they're actually texting photos back and forth. And there's Diamond Eugene. It's not Rachel Gentile. So a lot of people, I think, were in on it. And I think justice needs to catch up to all these characters, including Benjamin Crump and Trayvon's mother and father, anybody was in on, including the prosecutors. And I think people will start to see, you know, that we didn't need all this ridiculous rape for no reason.
One thing that when I was watching the documentary, how did the prosecutors make that okay?
The prosecutors, I mean, in the first interview with Rachel Gentile, they keep asking her questions and they know the answers are wrong. And they keep asking over and over until she eventually says something a little bit right. They said, how many times did you text with Trayvon that day? She says, one. And it's actually 32 times. They had the phone records just like me. And they kept saying, well, how many times did you text in the hour before he died? She said, one. And they said, they just moved on to the next question. Now, at the end of that interview, you played it in the trailer, but 6 times at the end of the interview, she told the prosecutor, I feel guilty. I feel real guilty. I feel real guilty. 6 times. He kept saying, why do you feel so guilty? She says 3 times. She yells at him, I know about it. I know about it. And they use her testimony anyway, even though it contradicted all the evidence and all the eyewitnesses. After that, the prosecution withheld her identity from the defense until just before the trial. They withheld the cell phone records until just before the trial. They did everything they could to hide as much evidence as possible so the prosecution wouldn't have time to figure out that this was a fake witness.
Wow. Man, that's just, that is amazing. Folks, my guest, such a gracious guy, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't want him on your butt. Trayvon Hoax. Go ahead and hold that up again, because I love that book. I've got the e-version. My copy's coming here shortly. Trayvon, yeah. Okay, so there's a DVD in the book. You got to get the book because, man, it fills in some good blanks, and, of course, the DVD. But it tells you why where we're at today. And, again, I would not want you on my trail, okay? People say that about me, but, man, you
– Trayvon's a real girlfriend, by the way.
Okay.
You know, you can tell why he fell for her.
Yep.
And I got a lot of pictures in the book, and you can certainly see it. She was like this, you know, really hot girl that he was in love with. And, you know, Rachel Gentile was 120 pounds heavier and 2 years older than him. And her story kept changing. Her name kept changing. Her age was changing. All the facts changed. And looking back, when you see the film, you'll say, oh, my God, how come – everybody didn't just jump on this. It's because they had an agenda, a political agenda. They wanted to get Obama reelected. They wanted to turn out the black vote, manipulate the black voters who were not really that impressed with Obama's performance in office. Like I said, 50% unemployment in urban America, illegals taking over jobs. In my film, There's No Place Like Utopia, I went to Chicago and Newark and Detroit. I talked to a lot of black Americans, and they're like conservatives. They said, we don't want illegals coming in. We don't want legalized marijuana. We want more police, you know. But they sucked them in with the skin color. Well, Obama's got, he's biracial, he's black, so you would think he has your interests at heart, but he never did. He never did anything for black Americans. He did everything for this radical socialist agenda, which I showed the basis of in a prior film called Dreams from My Real Father.
Oh, yes.
About his real background in radical revolutionary politics based on his mentor and who I believe was his real father, Frank Marshall Davis.
A Story of Reds in Deception. By the way, that's a great film. That's a great video film documentary. It's fantastic. Dreams from My Real Father. And you folks, you bookmark this website. It'll be in the program description box. It is Highway 61 ENT for entertainment. Highway61ENT.com. There it is right there on your screen. Bookmark that. It'll be in the program description box because there's a variety of films there, documentaries that you can take a look at. All fantastic. And especially again, not just the Trayvon hoax, but the, There's No Place Like Utopia. And, a friend, an author, has a book about the utopian, communist utopia or socialist utopia here in America. And I'll tell you what, all of this fits together. You really put the pieces together. But what can we do now, aside from really supporting your efforts because you've done such a great job, what would you recommend Americans do given the situation that we see playing out on the streets today? What would you recommend?
Look, the deficit is information that people who control the media, they just had on for an hour and a half on Fox News and CNN screaming, no justice, no peace. We want justice for Breonna Taylor, ignoring the entire system. So the inability to just share basic information in the main airwaves, I think, is the main dilemma that we lack an ability to do that. Even the conservative media, there's the official conservative media like Fox News. I've been booked on Fox News 3 times, including, I was booked on Jesse Waters to go on with the Trayvon hoax. They flew me to New York. I provided all these clips. And the day of the taping, they called and said, we're a little too busy. We can't have you on. So I think they might have flagged me or flagged this project as a little too scary for them to handle. And that's always been the case. My movie about Obama's background, Roger Ailes was shown the movie in his office before it came out. And he told my friend, this is incredible, but we can't touch this. So the deficit of the ability to share information is the biggest obstacle. So I guess I just recommend everybody share the link to my film, share with as many people as possible, and just don't be afraid to share it and talk about it. You know, certainly Zimmerman's lawsuit has a chance. Ironically, George Zimmerman has a chance of anybody, the one guy that could save America, because if he can get all these people in court, Benjamin Crump, Brittany Diamond Eugene, Rachel Gentel, he could probably get the truth. He's got all the truth. I don't think they're going to be able to lie too much more and break this whole thing wide open. The media will be forced to cover it.
Do you think that'll happen?
I think there's a good chance. It's in the Florida courts. He got a new attorney and filed an amended complaint. The answers are due, I think, next Wednesday. And after that, I think he's looking to do discovery and depositions. So if that happens, I think the media won't be able to stay away. Even Hannity might be forced to cover it as much as he's afraid, or Fox News is afraid to deal with this. But had they dealt with it, had they covered this a year ago, I was at the National Press Club. I laid out the whole case. And the biggest failure probably is we know the mainstream won't cover it, but had the conservative media been brave enough to cover it, and some of the great talking heads that we see on TV every day, I'll name one. I always admired Larry Elder. I liked his show. Yep. And I talked to him personally about it. As soon as I started talking about this and said, you want to take a look at this. You spent a lot of time talking about the Trayvon Martin case, that Rachel Gentel was a fraud. He got in big arguments with Piers Morgan. Take a look at this. He never would talk to me again. Never responded, don't want anything to do with me. So that's been pretty much the fear factor of even the people that we think in the conservative world that will want to look at the truth and help spread and expose what really happened. And unfortunately, because they didn't, Benjamin Crump is still out there playing the Trayvon hoax on America.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting before airtime this morning, we spoke and you said, yeah, Benjamin Crump's out there on the airwaves, you know, spreading the same things, the same mantra, you know, stoking the fires, essentially, liberally. And, how this all could not, I mean, how we could have, looking at this, how we could have stopped this just by speaking up and by having Joel Gilbert's investigative work product, his documentary, his book. People have to read it and share it. And hey, you've got to approach this, look at it, and understand what's going on here. And if people who really care about the United States do this, then, you know, you could stop what's going on, or we wouldn't have, hey, maybe what's going on now wouldn't be going on had this seen the light of day in that venue at that time. Man, that's wow. I want to thank you personally from the bottom of my heart for being, you're a hero. I mean, really, you really are. And I don't use that. That's not false flattery. You did a lot of work to really uncover, what was really going on. And, that's not easy, man.
You know, it's something that had to be done. I always like to say, you know, America is worth it. We have to tell the truth and expose these charlatans who are trying to divide the country and hurt people with lies and false narratives. You know, that black people are being hunted down in the streets by armed white men. You can't leave your house. All this nonsense, when I point out as was for Trayvon, his room was not armed white men in the streets. It was a lack of a strong father in the home to guide him away from drugs, gun dealing, and gangs. And as long as people try to escape reality, we're going to have horrible consequences like we see playing out now every day.
And in your book, it's interesting how you point out about the nexus of the attack on the nuclear family by the socialist communist construct and then mask it through this racial cause, supposedly noble racial cause. It really, folks, it really is so necessary for you to read the book, because it really puts connects some dots. And again, available in ebook or, I like the hard copy. I've got the ebook, but I'm waiting on the hard copy. So, we got about 30 seconds left. Anything that we haven't covered, about 45 seconds, anything we haven't covered that you want to hit?
Well, I mean, I think we pretty much covered it all. You know, I asked everyone, go to the TrayvonHoax.com and, watch the trailer right there, and links you right up to watch the documentary for free. Please go over and still buy the DVD, share it with somebody, buy the book, and help spread it around, because this absurd false narrative that the media is running with, they're using to achieve political power. And what they're going to do with that political power is not help Americans and not help black people. It's a whole different agenda that I think I reveal in this documentary, in this book. And that agenda has nothing to do with anything to do with American values. It has to do with the agenda of radical 60s revolutionary socialists who have a vision of destruction of America and then rebuilding this perfect world. And we know from history that these experiments in reimagining humanity always end up in mass destruction.
Mass death, mass destruction. Nothing good comes from it, and absolutely. Joel Gilbert, thank you so very much. I so appreciate you being taking your time, because I know you're a busy guy. I so appreciate you coming on, and I'm going to be urging everyone to support your work and, of course, purchasing the Trayvon Hoax book, DVD, and other videos, too. I've got a couple of favorites myself, including There's No Place Like Utopia. But we'll save that for another day. Thank you so very much. Appreciate you.
Great to be here. Thank you. Right.
Folks, that was Joel Gilbert. My goodness. Did you know that? Did you guys know all of that? that they used a fake witness? You remember Jack Cashel was here? He was talking about that, right? All right. I'm telling you, this will blow your mind when you get into it. And Joel Gilbert, just watching him go through the steps, each step methodically, tirelessly, I'm telling you, wow. It took me back to, you know, to when I was doing that type of stuff, you know, every single day. I'm thinking, my goodness, you know, he and then to get a stack of phone records. Did you see that? Like, you know, Manhattan phone book. Kids don't know what those are today, but there it is. All right, folks. Hagman Report. You're listening to the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. In fact, truth won't be silenced. I want to thank you so much for your graciousness, your gratuity, thank you for your support. And certainly thank you for your prayers. Gonna be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Truth won't be silenced. We are not going to be silent in the face of everything that's going on. I want to thank you so much for your support, your belief, your trust in this platform. One thing I'm telling you right now, it's really going to be a big thing. It already is a big thing, but it's even going to get bigger. And that's the fact that there's a couple of things going on with the Michael Flynn case. All right. Sidney Powell as attorney. Believe it or not, Judge Emmett Sullivan and the D.C. Court of Appeals might turn out to be, unexpected heroes of the case? You're saying, wait a minute, what? Oh, ho, 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 ho. Okay, first of all, one thing. Okay, so one thing leads to another. With respect to collusion in those big air quotes, Russian collusion with Donald Trump, right? FBI agent. Never was evidence of Russian collusion, but Mueller team had to get Trump goal. That was the goal. In other words, that's the headline. So, so many words, right? Donald Trump was always the target. All right. Hold on. Real collusion. This is key now. Dirty Obama deep state coup plotter Andrew McCabe at center of Durham's probe. As new information reveals, source was a Russian agent. Okay, now let's go to Michael Flynn, shall we? Come on over. Well, wait. Before that, there's one more nugget. It's a big nugget.
News nugget.
News nugget. Should we have those? Does somebody else have that?
I don't know if Herman Cain uses that anymore.
Herman Cain doesn't use anything anymore.
I think it's gone. So I think it's up for grabs.
Herman Cain is, you know, he passed away, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
What? No, he didn't. Did he?
Look it up. You know from what, don't you? Coronavirus, supposedly.
News nuggets definitely available then.
Well, I don't want to. I mean, perhaps in his honor, news nugget. But not to get too far off track, Obama FBI, and this just tickles me, all right, for a lot of reasons. You ready? Obama FBI was so worried about their illegal activity and coup attempt against Trump that they all went out and purchased professional liability insurance. You're not finding the humor in that? And that was revealed in emails. But with respect to the, and you can, folks, you can read this on Conservative Treehouse. You can read about how Sullivan, and let me get to it real quick here because I got somebody here that's going to come on that's going to blow your mind too. Sullivan and, well, the D.C. Court of Appeals being the hero in this. Let's see here. Mueller investigative agent recently testified special counsel operation was intended to get Trump. That was their stated goal. And which, by the way, that should bring all of the efforts against Michael Flynn to a halt. What I'll do is in the description box at HagmanReportLive.com, nowhere else, I'll put this in there, a link to Conservative Treehouse, theconservativetreehouse.com. All right. Real quick, I want to tell you this, folks. If you haven't done so already, Wisconsin Christian News, what a great publication, what a great paper, Wisconsin Christian News. Go to wisconsinchristiannews.com, sign up for, subscribe to this paper. Because, boy, you better do so now. I mean, do so now. You know why? If this is not in your hand, okay, you may not be able to get this anywhere else except when it's in your hand because, you know, the internet. Man, you might not be able to get this on the internet. WisconsinChristianNews.com, the best of the best news you can buy. And it's very affordable. I think it's $35 a year, delivered to your door. There it is, Wisconsin Christian News. And that also gives you it opens up to the, digital version as well. But I like the hard copy myself. Get them both. But while you're there, also donate to Wisconsin Christian News. All right. Healthmasters.com. This hour sponsored by Health Masters. I feel like I want to do one of those. I don't know. This hour sponsored by Health Masters. And I say that lovingly because I take Health Masters products. They work. They are the best of the best of the best nutritional supplements. You cannot get anything better than Health Masters. Whether it is the supplement that you take every day, you know, forget one a day, or when I say those, I'm saying whatever, forget XYZ brand. You go to Health Masters, you replace everything you're taking now with Health Masters brand. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to feel the difference. It'll be like a punch in you're going to have, it's going to be like a rectum rocket. Okay. Did I really say that? Like vitamin B12. Oh,
dude,
my
you're getting old. Gonna have to check you in somewhere.
Oh, man.
News nugget.
A news nugget. Doug Hagman just did an oopsie there. You know, you know what? Look, I'm telling you what. You take vitamin B, for example, and you don't feel it. I mean, you don't feel the effects of vitamin B. With Health Masters, you do. I know I do. The immunity package, for example, it provides what you need in these days and weeks of gunk out there. And I apologize for that, little oopsie there. But, come on.
Austin's going to beat you, you know what?
I'm afraid. I gotta
tell you, going to jump on a plane and come and.
I am afraid of Austin. I'm not afraid of his dad. But I'm afraid of Austin. He can kick my, he will too. Austin, how you doing, man?
You guys got me laughing this afternoon.
Ah, yeah, well.
Hey, it's going to be an interesting show. I'm doing blessed. How are you doing, Doug?
I don't know. Apparently not well. No, I'm doing fine. Thanks, man. Doing fine.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, speaking of, vitamins and all the aspects that you were just talking about, there's an article, a research study that just got released last week, and I talked about it slightly this week as far as in our show, and I wanted to bring it up in detail because all the people, that have been constantly running around scared out of their mind because of COVID. COVID's going to make the sky fall. COVID's going to make everybody die. As we already know, the numbers have pretty much completely slowed down on it, and that's with them manipulating it. Well, Dr. Michael Hollick, professor of medicine, physiology, and biophysics at Boston University School of Medicine, is a vitamin D expert. Okay, vitamin D is in dog. He just released a study, and this study, which was published in the Public Library of Science, one peer-reviewed journal, basically goes on to say here that he did samples from Quest Diagnostics of more than 190,000 Americans from all 50 states and found that those who had deficient levels of vitamin D had a 54% chance higher of becoming COVID positive with symptoms compared to those with adequate levels of D3 in the blood. The report goes on to say the higher your vitamin D status, the lower your risk, Hollick says. Many people are vitamin D deficient because there's only small amounts of food. Most vitamin D comes from sun exposure, and as many have been deprived, especially during the winter, and also, too, during the aspect of what we've seen with this lockdown. With COVID, everybody being inside, nobody can go to the beach, blah, 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 the whole rigmarole. We know the story. And it says right here at the end of it, he says COVID-19 positive is strongly associated with vitamin D levels in the blood. The relationship stayed the same across different races, sexes, age range, the study showed. So what he found here is the same thing that Ted and I have been hollering about for the last 6 months, is that vitamin D is crucial in the immune system. And it's crucial in fighting off viral infections. And we've seen now, and this is why for months I've been asking people that have been in the medical community, nurses and stuff, I said, have you checked any of these COVID patients that are in serious COVID condition, serious health? Have you checked their vitamin D levels? And I did talk to one of our good friends. His wife was a nurse, and she started requesting D3 panels when they're doing other blood work. And she said every single person that was in ICU for COVID or allegedly for COVID had extremely low levels of vitamin D3 in their blood. So this, coupled with what this Dr. Michael Hollick brought up in this peer-reviewed journal, is incredible to me. And it even troubles me more on why nobody in the mainstream media has talked about it. Almost like they want to continue pushing the narrative. Oh, I think they are. And, we see now in the UK, I was reading something earlier. This is so creepy. Now they're saying that at universities in the United Kingdom, they said the children, not children, I guess these are, adults, young adults, they said they're being treated like prisoners as draconian coronavirus rules mandate they eat alone at universities.
They're not allowed to go out and are forced to cut themselves off from others or face suspension. Interviews with students at Edinburgh University illustrate how overbearing the new rules are, with students being made to bring their own utensils, eat alone at spaced out exam-style desks, as the room is constantly patrolled by monitors, ensuring they don't violate protocol. Then further, they said in the dormitories, they actually have roving patrols of security that check rooms and threaten fines and suspensions if people are having more than a couple friends over or having a party. Alexander Phillips from Brexit Alex said in Scotland, students are being told all lessons must be online. They have to isolate and they're not allowed out over the weekend and they're legally banned from going home at Christmas. Not even terrorists are treated this badly. So you have to ask yourself a question, Doug. When are we going to say no to this? Obviously, the UK is becoming insane as far as what they're doing down here. They now have groups called marshals or environmental health officers that are roaming the streets. You saw this. Finding people and basically yelling at people, peering through windows, peering through letterboxes. Basically, if anybody is doing anything they're not supposed to, pubs and restaurants can't be open past 10 p.m. now because apparently at 10:01, COVID starts wandering the streets and it just jumps on you if you're outside after 10:01. So, I mean, obviously.
Pretty smart like that.
This is a brilliant virus. I mean, this is like a serial killer virus. You know, at 10:01, it gets dark and all of a sudden, you know, boom, 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 starts lurking in the shadows. It's 10:01. COVID's out. Everybody get in your home. Close your door. Turn your lights off. Shut your blinds. I mean, has society become this ignorant? Have they become this stupid, Doug? I mean, they're really following these laws? I mean, I saw the incident. You saw this, I'm sure, the video of the football game the other day with the girl basically that was refusing to wear a mask. They kept telling her to wear a mask at this football game. She's in the bleacher with her kids. Yep. And finally come up to her and say, hey, listen, you're not going to wear a mask. You have to leave. She goes, I'm not going to leave. I'm watching my kids play football. They said, you're going to leave now. She goes, no, I'm not leaving. I haven't done anything. I'm sitting here lawfully watching the show, watching the game. And they said, no, you've got to leave now. And then she didn't leave. So they arrested her, ended up tasing her, hauling her off, arrested her for trespassing. And so, I mean, is this really where we're going to allow ourselves to go, Doug, because we're so scared that something bad might happen to us that we're willing to give up every last bit of our freedom and obey completely and totally erroneous laws that make zero sense whatsoever? I'm still so shocked when I go out. I was at Lowe's yesterday, and I was still so shocked in my local area how many people are still wearing masks everywhere. I'm like, looking around. I mean, I told the story on the show yesterday. I had a garage door guy come out yesterday to work on service one of my garage doors, and he showed up. He has a mask on. He's talking to me. You know, he first gets there, and after about 30 seconds, I said, are you sick? He said, no. I said, you don't have COVID? You're not sick? He said, no. I said, why are you wearing a mask, man? He's like, well, I have to when I go to homeowners. I said, dude, this is a mask-free zone. I said, you're on private property. I said, if you don't want to wear a mask, feel free not to wear one. I said, by all means, if you really want to wear it, keep wearing it. And he takes it off and he goes, thank you, man. He's like, I do this every day and it's so hot. He goes, I have some homeowners that will come out screaming and yelling at me while I'm in the garage on a ladder fixing a garage door by myself for not wearing a mask. And they'll call the manager up and basically get me in trouble. And I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, dude. He goes, I'm not trying to talk bad about people. He goes, but some of these people are downright nuts. Fear is completely taken over every aspect of their life. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't expect that conversation with a garage door guy. And so we started talking, you know, for about 15 minutes. And he was really awake. And I said, it's troubling to me, man. I said, it's really troubling to see what's going on right now and see how many people are literally begging, on their knees, begging to have their rights stripped away from them, all in the name of protect me and keep me safe, please. That's why I joked around with my buddies the other day when I saw that video of that football game, not that it was funny, and I said, it's so funny, but we're going to arrest you to keep you safe. You understand? This is for your protection. We're arresting you to keep you safe. When we come to your house, if you don't take the vaccine, we're going to shoot you to keep you safe.
Yeah, it was crazy. But where was that, in Texas or was that in Florida, that video where it was taken?
No,
Ohio. It was Ohio.
Yeah, I was just about to say it was Ohio. It was up north.
Okay. what got me when I watched that video, I was obviously my eyes were trained on the woman in that, I think it was a rent-a-cop. I don't know. Maybe it was a cop.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't look like a sheriff or anything.
Right. And then what really got me, and I think James Woods pointed this out in a Twitter comment. Did you notice how everyone just sat around and didn't do anything? Well, hello.
I said the exact same thing, Doug. Everybody's standing there. You know, and I'm not advocating unlawful force on law enforcement. I've never advocated that at all. But, you know, four or five people could have stood up and said, hey, listen, man, this isn't okay, dude. We've been sitting here with her for an hour. There's nothing going on. We're all social distancing. Why are you treating her like this? Why? This isn't okay, man. You can't start throwing people out of a football game because they don't want to wear a mask outside. That was the stupid thing. I'm like, you're not inside the school gymnasium. You're not in a classroom. You're on bleachers with little tape X's on the chairs. And everybody just sat there. And I was like, you know, I'm not saying go up and get violent with them, but man, question the doggone thing. Two or three people walk up and say, dude, why are you doing this? And just engage them. Ask them a direct question. Why are you doing this, man? Is this okay? Well, I have to do this because she won't leave. Why are you forcing her to leave because she doesn't wear a mask? We haven't complained about her. There's no issues here. She's not sick, obviously. She looks perfectly healthy. We already know now that asymptomatic COVID carriers transmit virtually nothing. We've already seen that from the CDC. So, I mean, why are you arresting her because she doesn't want to wear a mask and she already said she had asthma? And so, you know, I'm not – you know, we're in this situation right now, and what's interesting to me, and I've noticed this, and I talked to a buddy of mine who's in law enforcement the other day, and we were kind of going back and forth, because I said, what's troubling to me about this is, as we're seeing these riots, we're seeing this increased aggression towards police, which means the police have to retaliate to try to protect a lot of these areas, because I'm not retaliating, just basically secure these areas, because these people are getting so violent. At the same time now, we have law enforcement that's getting belligerent, and pretty much trying to enforce unjust laws with law-abiding citizens. You know, and somebody sent a post that she basically been arrested multiple times in the past for like a DUI and some other stuff. I don't know. I don't know her background history. All I know is that specific situation there. And yeah, same thing I said, Doug. I mean, nobody even stood up and said anything. It was like everybody was just a trained sheep. Don't get up. Don't stir the pot. Don't take your mask off. You know what I told everybody? We're on the bleachers. I said, dude, everybody needs to take their mask off right now.
Yeah.
If you don't want to get an altercation, everybody take your mask off. We're done. Everybody's taking their mask off.
And you know what? They could not have gotten it. What would they have done? You can't arrest everyone. You can't tase everyone.
You can try to throw everybody out of the football game,
right.
Clear the bleachers. Everybody has to leave. No. No. We're not doing anything unlawful. This is not some type of statute. There is no law in place that says you have to wear a mask while sitting on a bleacher in a public open setting, even though that's a private school. I guess that's the way they pulled the trespassing part. But regardless, this isn't – we're not talking about doing anything illicit here, and that's the problem is that we're taking this so far now. We're allowing ourselves to be taken so far, I should say. Nobody's even willing to say no. That's why I said earlier, like when I talked to the guy doing the garage door, and he said people are paralyzed with fear right now. That's what he said. They're paralyzed with fear.
They are.
Don't know what to do.
You know, I just if I can toot my own horn here, I had just a brief, and I mean like a half or 30-minute dinner engagement with someone the other night, and it's a takeout place / restaurant sit down place. It's a pizza place, but Italian place that sells.
Yeah.
Anyway, so big sign on the door, mask required for entry. Signs everywhere, mask required, mask. So I didn't have my mask. I don't wear masks. So I went in and, when I went in, a woman was coming out. And she kind of held the door open for me because it opened out. So I had to kind of walk around her to open the door. And she said, you need to wear a mask. I said, no, I don't. And I walked around her and walked in. And I'm thinking, okay, she's going to come after me and kick me out. Well, you know, you're eating, you're in a restaurant, you're going to eat. It blew my mind. But you know what? What we all need to do is we all need to defy all of these edicts And no masks. Social distance or physical distancing. I don't want to call it physical distancing. To me, I don't need to be that close to people anyway.
Yeah.
That's not really a big thing for me. And curfews because of COVID? No. But what do you think about maybe something else coming down the pike with respect to this?
As far as?
Like COVID or like COVID 20, COVID 2.0, whatever it might be. I don't know. What do you think?
I already know now. The biggest thing is be prepared for a huge spike in flu cases. And obviously why? Because everybody's getting their flu shot. They're getting injected with a live, basically, denatured flu virus. It's always funny to me. This has always boggled my mind every year, is that the flu always starts to pop up when the flu vaccine starts being administered. Always found that ironic. Also it's flu season. The flu knows it right at September 1st. It's supposed to come out of hiding. Has it been hibernating under a tree for last year? It's September 1st. Flu's coming out now. It saw its shadow. It's coming out. So flu's coming out. You got to get your shots now because it's here. Okay. Everybody gets their shots. The flu starts spreading rampant. I don't know about you, but I've always found that highly coincidental. And so it's funny to me now, they're telling everybody, get your flu shot. Now they're saying the cases of the flu are starting to come up now. So now we're going to have this COVID flu issue in the fall. They're trying to tell us they're going to have. So they're continuing to try to keep the numbers ramped up until they obviously have a vaccine out. And I think the problem with it is these international bankers, the Rothschild boys and the central banks and these clowns that run Goldman Sachs and run the Federal Reserve, they're losing their grip on the COVID handle. A lot of people are still starting to wake up, but it's been successful in terms for them. They've gotten a lot of people under control. It's been one of the largest financial thefts of American taxpayer funds in recorded history. That's my opinion, but I've had a lot of other people share that same opinion. There was just another article that came out the other day, said over $1 billion in that COVID grant was given to the Department of Defense. Because the Department of Defense doesn't already get, $900 billion a year with their insane budget. They got another $1 billion to buy COVID supplies. Now the report came out and found out that they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars with all these different contractors for jet repairs, Rolls Royce, all kinds of stuff. Has nothing. The money went absolutely nowhere for COVID supplies whatsoever. It went basically to rebuild jet engines. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, this, and then we see the money that's being pumped into the stock market, pumped and pumped and pumped and pumped. And you have these companies like Amazon that have literally almost doubled their entire valuation in the last 6 months now and their net worth. All these guys are getting literally tens and hundreds of billions of dollars while everybody basically sold their life for, $1,200. We got $1,200 now. Now, if you saw the other day, the Fed is now saying they want to start doing direct deposits into people's accounts for cashless deposits. Not the Treasury, Doug. The Federal Reserve.
Okay, you're going to have to explain this.
Yeah. I've had the article earlier. I need to pull it back up. You want to look it up, look it up. I'll pull it up here in a second. They're now saying that here – well, I'll pull it up. I should have had it. I had so many articles I was going through today. And
by the way, folks, Ted and Austin Brewer have a show. While you're doing that, I just want to mention, tune in to Ted and Austin Brewer's show every day. Go to healthmasters.com. Look on the top right there. You'll see a blue tab. You can see that right now. Our Ted and Austin Brewer's show, live 5 days per week, Monday through Friday. Click there. It's 3 to 4 PM every weekday. And then, of course, on Sunday at 7 PM Eastern time. Folks, do that. They've got the premier father and son show in the country. And I'm going to tell you something. There's not a wasted word in that program. They're really good between Ted and Austin. I mean, they're really good. So Okay. I just wanted to make sure that people knew that about, because
you, no, yeah, thank you, Doug. I appreciate it. Now, so this article was from Tyler Durden, obviously over at Zero Hedge, if people have seen that before, and it reported that there is now legislation now for the central bank digital currencies, what they call it, where every person in the United States would have a digital account where the digital currencies would be deposited in an emergency or pandemic. So they're almost telling us now we're about to start having regular pandemics. This COVID was so successful in doing exactly what they wanted. I can tell you right now, I personally think this is going to continue to go on. That's why I told everybody, I said, it's time to say no now. If not now, when? How long are we going to let this go? But this is one of the biggest goals. The Cleveland Federal Reserve President, Loretta Mester, delivered a speech to the Chicago Payment Symposium titled Payments and the Pandemic, in which, after going through the big picture, Mester goes straight to the matter at hand. In the section titled, and I quote, Central Bank Digital Currency, the Cleveland Fed President writes, the experience with pandemic emergency payments has brought forward an idea that has gained increased attention at central banks around the world, and that is Central Bank Digital Currency, CBDC. She goes on to reveal that the legislation has proposed that each American have an account at the Federal Reserve in which digital dollars could be deposited as liabilities of the Federal Reserve Bank, which can be used for emergency payments. Because in launching digital cash, the Fed essentially would be able to scrap physical currency if they did this. They go on to say here they can basically go in and track and monitor where every single banknote goes all the way from its inception, because it's digital, meaning they just print it. They don't have to print it anymore. Excuse me. They just put another dash, another dot, another zero, another comma, and then they give it to an account. Oh, we printed this right here now. This is on the balance sheet. We print another $100 billion. We print another $1 trillion. We're giving this to the general population now. And so what's crazy to me, and I encourage everybody to look this up, is because this is grossly overstepping the law aspects of the Constitution brought in as far as allowing the Federal Reserve. These guys are now talking about having a direct account with the United States Americans, bypassing the Treasury. This is what we've warned about for years with the aspect of digital currency. And it's not coincidence it's starting right now during all this COVID garbage, because it's the easiest time to push these things through when people are fearful. We saw exactly what happened after 9/11. We got hit with the Patriot Act. One of the most unconstitutional legislations that's ever been put on the American populace. And we watched our country and our rights slowly erode for the last 20 years. Now we have our new 9/11, so to speak. It's COVID-19. They now have an excuse to monitor everything everybody does all the time, track everywhere you go, which they already did it before. Let's be real. It's nothing new. But now they do it legally and right in front of you, because it's, again, for your protection. You know, we have to monitor where you go. It's for your protection. We have to arrest you to protect you. You understand that? We're here to protect you. So you got to go to jail now because you won't listen to us. This is the lunacy that's happening. And as I keep saying, I say this every single day on my show and to people, everywhere I meet. When do we say no? We already know this entire aspect of the pandemic has been grossly manipulated. Grossly manipulated. We can look at that from the numbers and the CDC's own admission. This isn't fake science that we're trying to act like, oh, no, this is what we're coming up with. They're science deniers like they claim I am. I'm like, I'm a science denier. I'm a huge believer in science. What I'm not a believer of is bullcrap. I call bullcrap out my whole life. I was raised to look at it. It's a garden of weeds, a garden of weeds. But don't sit there and tell me that garden of weeds is a beautiful strawberry field. No, it's not. It's a garden of weeds. You need to pull it. There may be a strawberry in there, but it's a bunch of garden. There's a bunch of weeds now. We got a bunch of weeds right now in front of us with COVID. We've got to call it what it is. It's bullcrap. And people need to realize it and understand that we have to reach a point where we say, where's the line? Where's no? Where are we going to stop? Like you said, the mask. No, no, thank you. No, I'm not going to wear a mask. Thank you. Have a nice day. And I guess the girl at the stadium, I guess the probably better way to have handled that, I guess, is my opinion, is that when they told her she had to leave, comply. That way she would have gotten the trespassing charge, but made a giant vocal debacle out of it. Make it a giant spectacle that everybody was going to hear, that she was basically being forcibly extracted out of the football game for not wearing a mask due to her asthmatic conditions because she has health problems, and been extremely vocal. That's why Ted and I, we used to the whole time. When we start having an issue, I don't yell. I can get very loud. I have a very loud voice when I want to, not even yelling. And we're very known for that. As situations start happening and people start kicking me out, I'll comply. You tell me I have to leave your restaurant, I respect private property, just like I expect people to respect my private property. If I go to a restaurant, it's a private business, and they say, no, you're being unruly, we don't want your business, I'm going to respect that. But I'm also going to make a big, giant spectacle out of it so people understand that I'm being kicked out of a restaurant for not wearing a mask. And that's what people have to start doing now with this, because the more that people do that, the more people are going to start waking up around them. And I mean, I wish some people in those stands would have had some gonads and stood up and like, dude, what are you doing, man? This isn't okay.
Yeah. You know, and you asked the question, I mean, where's our line? And I think, I think we as Americans, and look, I know this, at the beginning of the program, I don't mean to switch topics on you, but at the beginning of the program, I think it was the beginning of the program, I was talking about the couple in St. Petersburg, who were obviously down in your state, where the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, they were protesting, and then that Muppet with a yellow headband sat down at the table. I don't know if you, did you see that? It's playing.
Yes. Yes, or wait, I did see that. St. Pete, and I actually had a conversation with one of my friends who he's not a sheriff. He works for the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And I asked him about that. I sent that video to him, and I said, "The state of Florida," I said, "how do you handle this?" He said, "Well, first off, obviously they're senior citizens. They look like they're over 65. Assault or battery on anybody over the age of 65 is a felony in the state of Florida." So verbal assault, that's automatically a felony. They're committing a felony against you. You have the ability to defend yourself. He said, but other than that, he goes, if you're in that situation, you're not 65, Austin. You're out at dinner with your wife. And you see a very large, aggressive group that's descended upon the restaurant with megaphones. And they're yelling and screaming and threatening and being unruly. They already are threatening you. They're already breaking the law. So at that point in time, if you see one of them start to approach you, do not let them get to your table. You stand up and engage them direct. And I don't mean with lawful law, you know, with deadly force yet. You really say, no, stop right now. If they continue to come forward with you, you have the ability at that point because A, you're outnumbered. B, you don't know if they're coming up with you a box cutter, a blade, a knife, anything. You don't know what they're coming up to you with, a gun. They can pull one, a nightstick out of their back pocket and slap it out. You have the right to protect yourself from unlawful assault and battery. And if you feel that your life is being threatened, Florida's a stand your ground law.
Right.
So if that comes down to that, you stand your ground. He goes, do not let them sit in the chair. Do not let them come near you. Do not let them come to your table. If they approach you and they have that many people with them, they already have the upper hand if something escalates. And he goes, the worst case scenario, you get a battery charge, which is highly unlikely. He said, but at least you can get video of you completely knocking out a bunch of softy Antifa kids that think they're a bunch of hard asses, excuse my language, because they want to run around with megaphones and yell at people while they're trying to eat dinner. I mean, what kind of low-class piece of crap people is Soros digging up? You're eating dinner and you're going with megaphones and screaming and cussing, harassing, intimidating people while they're eating dinner? I mean, you got to be one low-life, scum-sucking piece of crap to go do that to somebody while they're trying to eat dinner. And so he said, if they come up to your table, engage them direct before they get to your table. And you have every right to do so in the state of Florida.
I think, seriously, I'm really considering relocating to Florida. I really am. And people say, well, it's gonna go where, no, you know what? I would rather vote where my feet are or vote with my feet. You go down to Florida where the laws are, you've got set of laws that are more constitutional than up here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania with Wolf and Cousin It. But aside from that,
well, we have an incredible sheriff down here in the county we live in, Sheriff Grady Judd.
Yeah,
he's incredibly awake, very constitutional. It's funny, I was talking to one of my best friends who's a sheriff, and you know, there's like a zero tolerance for rioting. You can peaceful protest all you want; they don't care about that. As soon as you start vandalizing, threatening, breaking things, throwing things, that's it. You're going to jail immediately. That's completely and totally unacceptable in a civilized society. And what's funny, in Winter Haven, the city next to us, they've had some issues over there in the city areas with people basically peaceful protesting. And obviously they're already planning on starting a bunch of violent riots. And they were very mild in essence. They weren't even enough to really make any mainstream. He said, but it was funny because Winter Haven Police Department tried to quell some of it, and the populace in Winter Haven has no respect for the Winter Haven Police Department because I'm not going to talk bad about anybody listening to the Winter Haven Police Department, but they're not well respected. Well, so Grady basically, every time this starts to occur, he sends in the Sheriff's Department. He said, it's funny because you'll have a group there that's acting unruly, acting belligerent, doing stupid stuff. Winter Haven PD can't keep them under control. As soon as the Sheriff's Department shows up, they automatically disperse. They don't even hang out and try and talk. They're like, okay, we're gone. Bye. Grady's boys are here. It's time to ride out. Because they already know there's zero tolerance. They are going to arrest you immediately. And you're probably going to get pepper sprayed in the face. You know? I mean, it's just, that's what's going to happen. You can't run around a civilized society and be threatening people and throwing Molotov cocktails at people and looting and destroying property because you feel like you're vindicated because somebody got killed in some city by somebody you don't even know. There is no law to that. And so, yeah, that's one thing that we're blessed about. Now, Florida's turning very liberal. They're trying to do everything they can to make Florida a blue state, as sad as that is. You know, a lot of South Florida, Miami, Dade area down there is very liberal. But the Central Florida area we're in, dude, this will be the hot spot. If it pops off, everybody knows that we will have zero tolerance for that down here if it starts to occur.
Well, you know what? I do want to ask you what your intent is, and I know we talk about this frequently, but we know where our line is and such, but the way I'm looking at things right now, I don't see us coming back from this. I don't see the United States coming back from this. I'm just saying this. I don't see any kind of, not only do I not see normalization, I don't see a return to stability. So I guess my question to you is, how are you planning on handling all of this? Are you going to, I mean, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to fight? Are we going to throw down? What are we going to do? And that's a question.
The question is, you know, we kind of have to take it one day at a time and address it and handle it on how it happens. You know, it's hard to say, you know, this is what I'm going to do if this happens, if I don't really know how it's going to happen. All I know is I can get as prepared for as best as possible. Like last weekend, we had a vehicle threat course in Cocoa Beach. I went to, it was a blast of a class. I haven't done, you know, vehicle shooting in a while. I forgot how obnoxious it is to shoot a short barrel rifle through a windshield. And it was great training to get back onto those tactics again and practice, you know, getting in and out of vehicle and deploying out of the vehicle and having fun and enjoying it, but getting good practice in. And, you know, I encourage everybody, if you have the ability to train, do so, because I promise you, you're absolutely right. It's going to happen. It's going to happen whether you want it to or not. So the biggest thing is be prepared for it. It's kind of like, you know, riding a bicycle. Once you ride a bicycle enough, you don't even think about it anymore. If you train enough and you practice enough with whatever you're trying to do, whether it be karate, whether it be gunfighting, whether it be jujitsu, once you do it enough, it becomes second nature. You do it. You don't think about it. And that's what everybody has always told me that, you know, I've trained with a lot. They said, listen, you want to have skills that just are automatically autonomous. You don't think about it. They're reflexive in nature. You just reflex. It's done. And so that's what I encourage a lot of people to do right now, because I think you're right about this. This is only going to end one way, and they're not going to stop. They're going to keep pushing it, and they want to get a rise out of us. And this is why they're doing all this violence. This is why Soros is donating hundreds of millions of dollars to these groups. That's why in Louisville, Kentucky the other day, they didn't care what the verdict was going to be. They didn't care if freaking everybody got the death sentence. They were going to riot. Yep. They already had U-Haul vans full of shields and posters and signs that were pre-made ready to go.
Holly. Yeah, Holly brought those down.
I saw that. Yeah. Old Holly.
By the way, I don't want to, we've got, I don't know, probably 20 minutes left or less than that. I'm not sure. I don't want to direct, whatever you want to, you talk about whatever you want to talk about and take us wherever, because again, your information is cutting edge and, I appreciate everything you do. So, I just have a feeling that, this week, I've had this feeling that we are going to have to engage. And when we do, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. And I'm not promoting it, advocating it. I'm just saying that, we're going to have to take care of business. And, I know your dad, Ted, he doesn't want to leave to his offspring any more than I do for mine the messes that we have allowed, we have permitted to take place during our lifetimes, if that makes sense. That doesn't mean I'm going to go out there and start, taking people out, but I'm just saying, I've got to take care of business that I'm not going to allow it to go into the next generation or my grandchildren. So anyway, but again, feel free to.
You're right about that, Doug. And that's one thing that has troubled me a lot and why I've encouraged a lot of Christian patriots to really do is evaluate and look at what your children are being taught. You know, the school systems, I already told you what they're doing in the UK. You can already see what they're doing right here. I mean, this office is right beside Armando High School, so I see it when they get out a lot of times. And these kids are walking around with masks on. And it literally just makes me irate, honestly, inside to see the younger generation being conditioned this way, having to eat by themselves, having to walk in a single file line. Literally, I mean, these are prison tactics. This is what you do in, low security prisons. And the kids are being indoctrinated into this, all under the guise of a virus that has, now they're saying if you're basically between the age, I think, of like 18 and 30, the survivability or the death rate is like 0.00072 or something. I mean, it's so low now, and the American immune system is still so strong. The only people that are really susceptible are people that have serious health conditions, and a lot of times it's because they've had a very, very poor lifestyle and diet their whole life. And I'm not picking on anybody, but that's generally what happens. You reap what you sow. If you continue to put horrible toxins and pesticides and glyphosate and aspartame and hydrogenated oil and high fructose corn syrup, and the list goes on and on and on, and you keep putting that in your body for 30, 40, 50 years, you can't be surprised when you start having horrible health conditions. It's just what it is. And, it's like when people smoke their whole life and they're like, oh my gosh, I got lung cancer. How'd that happen? I mean, it's a choice. Everybody has the choice to do it. Same thing, with anything. You know what you do, there's consequences. But if you know that, own them. And I've told people that. If people want to smoke, I'm very libertarian with that. I don't care. If people want to drink, drink. It may not be healthy for you, but
know the risks. When it comes to
that. Right. But own it. You say, hey, man, I got pancreatic cancer. I drank too much. I had a good run, though. I had a good run. I'm good with Jesus. I drank too much. I had fun, but I'm going to own it. This is what happened to me now. But don't sit there and try to blame the rest of the entire United States population and force them into isolation and to mask themselves because you've abused your body for 50 years and now you're sick and want to run around all the time and not have to worry about catching a virus because everybody else can give it to you. I told you that day I went into Interstate Battery to get a battery charger for one of my trucks, and I walked right into it, and there's a lady in there. Obese, mask on, yelling through the mask. It's wet. It's like dripping with spit. It's disgusting. It's a disgusting person to even look at. I'm not even trying to be mean, but it was disgusting. She stunk. Tell her she didn't take care of herself. She goes, you need to wear a mask in here. She's pointing at the employees. The employees are like, no, we don't have to wear a mask. Thank you. She goes, it's a city ordinance. They said, we're not in the city of Lakeland. We're outside. We're in the county. But thank you. Well, I could catch it. I have this and this. She starts listing off all these ailments she has. And I walk in, I look at her, I said, and I walked right into it. I said, man, I would highly suggest you stay home. She goes, oh, what? I said, I've already had COVID. I'm perfectly fine. It took me like 2 days. I had a little bit of a sore throat. Why in the world are you talking about this? I said, you probably should just go home. What? I need to be able to go out and this. I said, no. Okay, now we're talking the discussion of you don't want – to be held accountable for your actions, so you want everybody else to submit to you. And so, and of course, she left before it escalated, which is a good thing. But that's what it's boiled down to now. Everybody does not want to be responsible for their actions. This is something I have talked about for years. People want to eat what they want, drink what they want, do what they want, and then when they get something, they want to blame it on somebody else. The doctor's problem. He needs to fix me. It's their problem. The insurance company, my health insurance needs to fix me. No, nobody needs to fix you. You need to fix yourself. And we're seeing the same thing going back to what I was saying with the kids. Our younger generation, this is the last generation. This is the last chance we have, Doug. This is it. After this, if we lose this generation, they're only going to breed little communists. They're already doing it right now. I mean, let's be honest. This is what's in the school system. This is the media. This is social media. This is conditioning. This is it. If we lose this generation, it's done. Because when that generation, this generation currently right now we have, once they start having babies in 15, 20, 25 years, this younger generation is going to be so indoctrinated, so brainwashed, the generation they have behind them, there's no chance. There's no chance. There's no coming back from it. Because their parents will be so ignorant and so brainwashed, they will push and teach their children the same thing, and the school system won't even have to do it. The parents will do it for them, and that's what they're betting on. They have to get this generation. That's why I encourage everybody. Read the Bible. Every single night I read the Bible to my children. Every single night. We pray every night before we go to bed. I'm not trying to say that to sound boastful. I'm not. That's the privacy of my own home, but I'm telling you. You have to engage with your children. You have to be a parent. You have to do the best you can to raise them. It's not easy. I mean, I've never done this before. I'm a dad now. It's weird. You know, I got two kids. It happened in the blink of an eye. But you can't push the responsibility onto the school system or onto the teacher, onto the university and say, well, they're going to teach them. I don't have to do anything. No. Look at what they're teaching them. They're teaching them that they can be a girl or a boy or a unicorn or a walrus or a sponge. That's what you want your children taught? Come on. No. I mean, I'm very proud that a lot of people are homeschooling their kids now. I wish more people started doing it. I try to encourage it a lot.
That's one – actually, that's kind of one unintended nice thing about this.
Yeah.
So, okay. But yeah, we've got to change what's being taught. You know, it's interesting because I'd mentioned this earlier in the week that couple of things. There was one case, and you might have talked about this, and I don't remember, but back there was in the suburb of Los Angeles back a number of years ago, a little child, Isaiah Martinez, walked into the classroom and passed out candy canes. And on the candy canes, there was a note that had a scripture on it. And the teacher took the candy canes and said, okay, fine, but ripped off the scripture and threw it in the garbage and said, Jesus is not allowed in the classroom. Okay. And of course, we talk about the Supreme Court ruling that the Ten Commandments could not be posted on the school wall in Kentucky. This happened in Kentucky, by the way, because seeing it, and I'm quoting now, seeing it may induce children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to venerate and obey the commandments. What? Okay. Yeah.
Such a horrible thing.
Right. So anyway, So I don't know where I was going with that, except to say it's teaching our children is so important. And I'm so glad that you know that two kids already, huh?
Oh. Yeah. I talk to Lana about having more. We go back and forth. I'm heavily conflicted on this area. I'll be honest with you right now because it's like, do I want to have more? I know it's coming. Do I want to deal with a pregnant wife as well in the midst of what's about to happen? But then I don't live in fear. So it's like, well, if I want to do it, I need to do it because it doesn't matter. But then I'm like, do I really want to have more? And this is the problem that you run into now as, you know, as sad is as a married couple is that, you know, there's very few benefits of having more and more children. It just costs you a lot of money. Obviously, the benefits are, I mean, having children, I don't mean it like that. It's great having them. But financially, you know, it costs a lot of money to feed these guys. They eat a ton of food, and they're small still. And then they got college and got everything else, you know. You start having three, four, five kids, and the problem is, you know, I'll be flat out honest with you. I'm a white male. There's no subsidy. I don't get anything. And that's what troubles me when I see other people that may be minorities and they're unmarried. They continue to have children out of wedlock. They have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids, and they get $6,000-$7,000 a month in total subsidies to keep having kids. And I'm like, you know, this is irritant. Like, you have a Christian couple, married couples that work hard, really do the best they can, pay a lot of money in taxes. And all you do is give back to the system. And so it's like, I don't know, it's just frustrating. I'm venting. But yes, so we have some more. We're still talking about it. We got a 4-year-old. I got a 2-year-old. If we're going to do it, it's time to have another one. He's going to be 4-2, you know.
That's pretty cool, though. I know you're a good father, and I know you have a good family, a great family, and it's great. But of course, there's the carbon footprint thing to think about, and you know, you guys can't eat red meat because it's just not good for the environment. And of course, if you go to California, 2035, they're going to outlaw the.
Don't get me started on that. I saw that the other day, and I said, California is just outdoing themselves this year. I mean, anytime you think they cannot get any dumber out there, they go and totally redeem themselves and do another stupid move like that. And I'm like, do you understand the consequences in the automotive industry and every sector when you start doing stuff like that? Not to mention, and this is something I talked about on our show the other day. I want to bring this up. I don't know if this is all Teslas, but one of the guys that was in the fighting rifle vehicle class we had the other day, he had a Tesla, not there. It was one of his other cars. We were discussing vehicle tactics. And, you know, I was in full kit. I always run full armor whenever we train like that. And so we were talking about seatbelts. And I was like, I don't wear a seatbelt whenever I'm in, you know, kit. And I'm not generally going to wear a seatbelt if I'm in that situation. Heck, a lot of times I don't even wear a seatbelt when I'm in, like, downtown area. I'm doing 20 miles an hour. I'm not worried about it because if I have to get out of the vehicle, I got to get out of the vehicle now. I'm going to get home by my seatbelt. Now, interstate driving, stuff like that, I always wear a seatbelt. Well, he goes, the thing that sucks about my Tesla, you can't drive if you don't put your seatbelt on. So what do you mean? He's like, we can try to like put it in drive and it'll like start to go, but then it'll stop. You got to put your seatbelt on. I said, so what happens if you got to deploy out of your vehicle in a hurry and you need to get out of your seatbelt before you stop? He goes, you can't pull your seatbelt off. I'm like, oh gosh, it's like a nightmare vehicle. And that's good old Tesla. The company continues to get tens of billions of dollars in bailouts. It seems like every time I turn around from the federal government. That, I mean, Elon Musk and all that, he's another banker boy. Those vehicles will be something that I never own, but it's just interesting to see now as I find more and more these vehicles are becoming so electronic. Remember, electronic vehicles are fully controlled. You can monitor, watch, track, trace. There's no disabling anything. Even a lot of newer vehicles nowadays that are, you know, still gas operated, you know, you can still change some stuff. You can pull stuff out of them if you need to. Very difficult. It's easier than older ones. But electric vehicles, dude, there is no hiding those vehicles. There's no changing anything. It's, dude, one small issue, car goes down for the count. So
never thought I'd long for the days of the DeLorean, but I do. And I'll tell you what, I should get one and restore it. But anyway, so there's a lot of stuff going on. Oh, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, the president is going to announce his pick for a Supreme Court candidate. Of course, Amy Coney Barrett is up on the short list as Barbara from your state, an appellate judge.
I know what you're talking about. Yes. Yeah. I don't remember the name, but yeah.
Any predictions? And do you think, I'm just curious, do you think that, the judge will be seated this term, this year?
I hope so, Doug. But honestly, I don't know. It's 2020. You know, I won't be surprised if they say a cruise ship's going to try to fly across the state of Florida now. Like, I don't know. You know, it's one of those years. It's just, dude, roll the dice, see what happens. When you think something can't get weirder, you know, like I said, California goes and makes a fool out of themselves again. So we'll see. I have no prediction. We'll see what happens with. I can tell you one thing. Whatever happens this weekend, as far as who he picks, guarantee we're going to see a massive surge in rioting and violence all across the country. As sad as that is for me to say. So that being said, stay armed, stay prepped, know your laws. and decide if you have to engage and understand there's consequences during and after it happens. So know how to handle it. But the best thing to do is try to avoid those situations the best you can. That's always my opinion on it.
Amen to that. We've only got about 4 minutes left. Any closing thoughts, and also any product that you would want to sell me on this weekend that I need to take? So it's up to you. About four minutes left.
Well, yeah, the product of the week is the zinc glycinate. Everybody pretty much, I think, has already learned now how incredibly great that is for the immune system. But also I encourage everybody to vote for what product they want to see win next week, product of the week. It looks like the D3s are already starting to pull ahead just because people are really starting to wake up. I mean, I've talked to people now that weren't even into vitamins, and they're like, man, I was reading about D3 again the other day. I was reading about vitamin C. I was like, ah, I know. Been talking about this for a decade. I'm glad to see everybody starting to finally realize it. And it's great. I mean that sincerely, because I mean, the healthier that the populace is, the much more difficult we are to control from a tyrannical standpoint. That's always been the case. If you have a strong, aggressive, alert, acute populace, they'll call you out on your bullcrap. And that's exactly what a lot of us have been doing now for months on end with this entire COVID thing. That's when I go places. I try to just stand my ground on stuff and be vocal, because you never know. That one scenario that we're out talking to somebody and we bring up something about D3 or vitamin C, or just making sure you stand by your convictions and what you believe, that one conversation that one person can hear can make a huge difference. They may hear it. They may talk to their family about it. They may encourage them. They may look at it. They may get healthier. They may stand their ground. And that's how we have to do this right now in alternative media, because the social media platforms have all been but ruined. I mean, you can still get some stuff out there, obviously, but they're trying to censor it the best they can. All mainstream media, forget about it. I can't even tell you the last time I watched mainstream media, Fox, CNN, any of them. They're all propaganda pieces.
That's true.
And I tell a lot of people, I said, turn that crap off. If you're trying to wake up, stop watching it. Because it really does control your mind when you start watching it. The cadence, the colors, the constant graphs, the little numbers that are going down all the time, little countdown numbers, this many cases. Dude, the number of people that have tested positive for COVID in the United States does not mean crap. It doesn't mean anything. It's a complete and total erroneous number. It's like saying this many people got a sinus infection this month. It's erroneous. It's completely erroneous. But they use it to keep scaring people. Oh, we also have 7 million cases. But you notice they constantly keep going up on the graph.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do total number cases. They don't do recovered cases. Like I said a couple months ago, I said, where's the recovered graph? And then I find out the CDC and all these other hospitals, nobody's even keeping a list of recovered patients, because there's no way to fully tell when somebody recovers from COVID. Yeah, there is. Their throat isn't sore and you don't feel bad. You pretty much recovered and you've built antibodies to the virus. Ta-da, you're fixed. Like, it's easy as that. This whole stupid thing, we keep testing people. They tested positive 6 weeks later. They're completely healthy, but they test positive. They can't be out in society. Wake up and realize what's going on. I encourage all of our listeners, continue to stand by your convictions. And I mean that sincerely. If you believe something, if you know something is to be true in your heart, stand by it. Stand your ground on it. I cannot convey that any more aggressively, because it's reaching a point in time, you have to say yes or you have to say no, and you got to stick with what you say. Ted used to always teach me that when I was younger. He said, basically, do what you say and mean what you say, man. You commit to it, do it. If you tell somebody you're going to be there at 5 p.m., be there. If you tell somebody you're going to help them, help them. That's what we have to start doing right now, and we cannot allow this line to keep going further and further and further and further and further, encroaching on our rights, Doug. So at least my opinion.
Austin Brower, I want to thank you so very much. People love you, by the way. I get so many emails saying,
thank you. Appreciate that.
Women especially saying that they'll have your child. I'm kidding.
Tell them I'll wipe you that.
I'm kidding, of course, but no, I want to thank you so very much. And by the way, did you wear ear protection when you fired in the vehicle or no?
Oh gosh, yes. I wore ears and eyes.
Okay, because I'm trying to remember what year this was. It was in the 80s. I fired from a vehicle, but it wasn't intentional. It was negligent. And
discharge, you had an ND, Doug?
Uh-huh. Yeah. People talk about premature, you know. No, this was negligent. let me tell you what, it took me a couple of days to regain my hearing. Okay.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
But I also had to explain to the cops why there was a hole in the roof. That's a long story. But yeah, so I'm glad you wore the ear protection.
Oh yeah, ears and eyes, man. When you get blasted in the face with windshield glass, you don't. That's not fun.
No, not at all. Appreciate your time. Give your family and your father and everyone my best, our best. God bless you, my friend. Stay safe.
Thank you, Doug.
We'll be talking.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Folks, that was Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com, please. Right now, order your Ultimate Multiple, your supplements from healthmasters.com. May God bless each and every one of you. Hey, check HagmanReport.com. Help JD out in his fight against cancer. God bless. Good night.